family, such a joy to be with you once again to share God's word with you through this YouTube platform. We thank you for being faithful in joining us and listening to these messages. Here in South Africa, some of our lockdown regulations have been eased and people are getting back into society. But we also want to urge you to be careful, follow the regulations and be safe. Ensure that you are wearing a mask and using hand sanitizer. As we can see that the virus is spreading even in our own country. So we just encourage you to please take all the precautions that are necessary. I want to get straight into the message today. And we have been sharing on the subject of Goshen, which means drawing near to God, intimacy with God, being one with God, building our relationship with the Lord. And we drew this conclusion from Genesis chapter 45, when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, and he said to them, "Stay near to me, draw near to me." And he said, "I will give you the best of the land in Goshen." And Goshen was located in Egypt. And Jacob, and his family came and settled in Goshen. And we have been looking at what happens when we draw near to the Lord. Goshen is in Egypt. Egypt is a metaphor of the world, a place of bondage, a system of slavery, a place where you are working under tough conditions, much like many people are working in the world today. And Goshen is a place of intimacy with God. And while we live in this world, we are not of this world. We are born of the Spirit, and our intimacy with God helps us to overcome the systems of this world, or should I say navigate with the technology of being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, being able to manage unrighteous mammon with spiritual insight. And this is because we draw near to the Lord. In our last session, we spoke on how there is no pasture in Canaan. And therefore, Jacob and his family came and settled in Goshen in Egypt, because there is pasture in Goshen. Canaan has no pasture. Canaan is a picture of a trafficking system, a merchandising system. This is what Jesus saw when he walked into the temple. He saw everyone was busy selling their merchandise, and he turned the tables of the temple as he walked in, because they were operating with the system of Canaan. There must be a shift from the land of Canaan into the land of Goshen. It's a shift in mentality. It's a shift in how we govern our lives. And so we said how there's no pasture in Canaan. The question that we asked ourselves in our previous session is, what are we feeding on? And we covered a few points. How we feed on negativity, we feed on on heresy, we feed on gossip and fables, we feed on traditionalism, emotionalism, we feed on religion, we feed on liberalism, we feed on philosophy, and several other points, talking about what feeds our soul. And as we feed ourselves with all of this, it determines our physical, our mental well-being, even our spiritual well-being. So it's so important to know what to feed on. I want to go to Genesis chapter 47 this morning and continue as we read verse number 6. The Bible says, "The land of Egypt is before you. Have your father and your brothers dwell in the best of the land. Let them dwell in the land of Goshen." So Goshen was the best of the land in Egypt. This is a superlative piece of land. It's in superior in quality. It is probably a place of great productivity, a place of fruitfulness, a ground that is, the soil is rich. It will be able to feed the flocks of the family of Jacob and also be able to produce and harvest. So this was the best of the land. Now, the best of the land that we can choose to live in this world, is drawing near to the Lord, or being one with the Lord, being joined to the Lord, being intimate with God. So when the nation of Israel exited Egypt, God told Moses that he has a prepared place for the nation. And in Exodus 23 verse 20, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and bring you into the place I have prepared." When you come to the New Testament, Jesus is speaking to his disciples in John 14, and he says to them, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And again it says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now Jesus was going to go to the cross. He was going to be crucified. And he was going to prepare a place for us. And the place for us was the Father's house. And the Bible says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places, many mansions." And we are that dwelling place. The mansion is not a physical building. The mansion is not a street of gold. The mansion are the people of God, who are God's dwelling place. And Jesus was going to prepare a place for us. So our prepared place, the best of the land for us, is Christ. Christ has made a way for us to the Father. And the place is no longer a physical location or a piece of real estate or a land. The place is now the person of Christ. We are in the Father's house, and this is the best land for us. We now live in Christ, and Christ lives in us. I encourage you to listen to Dr. Segi Govender's previous two sessions when he spoke about being in Christ and Christ in us. He used the analogy of the book of Exodus chapter 12, where the lamb was to be slaughtered and brought into the house. And when it is in the house, you had to eat the whole lamb. So this is Christ in us, and we in Christ. Please, if you have time, please listen to those messages. So Acts 17 verse 28 says that we live in him, we move in him, we have our being in him. And this is because we are in him and he is in us. So what is the best of the land? Where is Joseph positioning us? Where is he settling us? Joseph is a picture of Christ. And the best place that we can be settled in is in Christ. He is our best of the land. That land is a fruitful land. That land is a productive land. That land is the best land. So, in the book of Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Now let me sing to my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones, planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst, and he also made a winepress. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but he brought forth wild grapes." Now, in this portion of scripture, this is a poetic, this is a description of Israel as a vineyard. There are many passages that talk to you about Israel being described, the nation of Israel being described as a vineyard. And here the prophet Isaiah is speaking to them in agricultural language, describing how God has called them his vineyard, and he has planted them on a very fruitful hill. But he also said that he had cleared out the stones and he planted it with the choicest vine. That means the vineyard was planted with the choicest vine. And the choicest vine we know is Christ. This is in John chapter 15, that Christ Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. We are the vineyard, and Christ is the choicest vine. He is the best vine. He is the superlative vine. He is the superior vine. And the vineyard is the church that is expected to produce the best fruit. This basically translates into being fruitful and productive in this world. So the expectancy that when you are planted with the choicest vine in the vineyard, that means we are a branch joined to the vine, the expectancy is that we will be fruitful. So when we draw near to God, when we are in the land of Goshen, when we are in the best of the land, the choicest vine, there is an expectancy for us to be productive, to be fruitful. And the question we need to ask ourselves, as we have been asking over the last two sessions, in the last two sessions I asked, what are you occupied with? In last week's session, we asked, what are you feeding on? Today's question is, what are we producing, or what fruit are we bearing? Because when we are in Goshen, when we are drawing near to God, we are intimate with God, when we are like the branch joined to the vine, we must produce fruit. This is the expectancy, as Isaiah chapter 5 relates for us, and it is also in the New Testament. Several times Jesus made a reference to this portion of scripture. He expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. So the nation of Israel was producing wild grapes because they had strayed away from God, and because they had indulged in the flesh, and because they had indulged in many practices that were contrary to the laws and the commands of God. Over this time of lockdown and quarantine, we have had time to think about our lives and what we are doing, and time to think about what kind of fruit are we producing, because God is expecting us to bring forth good fruit. The Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. This is in John 15 verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. In Matthew 7 verse 17, it says, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So, we are trees of righteousness. We are branches connected to the vine. We are the vineyard with the choicest vine in us, who is Christ, and we are in Christ. And the expectancy from our vine dresser, our husbandman, our landowner, is that we will be fruitful and bear good fruit. Now, there are all types of fruit that are produced. There's fruit that is produced when you delight in the Word of God. So the fruit of delighting in the Word of God, Psalms 1, verse 1 to 3, I'm not going to read all of it. But the Bible says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever you do will prosper. When you delight in God's word, we become fruitful. And this is because we are planted by the word of God. We meditate on the word of God day and night. That's the fruit of our womb. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of our womb is a reward, like arrows in the hand of the warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. This is in Psalms 127, verse 3 to verse number 5. There were many women in the Bible that were barren, like Sarah, like Hannah, like the widow or rather the woman, the Shunammite woman, all of them were barren. But there was a way in which the barrenness was broken. Sarah's barrenness was broken when the angel of the Lord visited them. And I believe it was broken because of how Abraham received the angels of the Lord, or received the angel of the Lord. He responded with honor. He responded immediately. He prepared a meal for them. And because of the honor shown to them, the barrenness was broken. Anna also showed honor to Eli, even though he called her a drunk woman. She addressed him as Lord, showing him the honor that was due to him. And he declared that she would have a son. And the barrenness was broken. The Shunammite woman respected and showed honor to Elisha. She built an upper room for him. She furnished it. She took care of him. And because she showed honor to him, she allowed grace to come into her life, and the barrenness was broken. So you can break unfruitful ground. Even the men that came to Elisha and told him that the city is pleasant, but the water is bad, the ground is barren. And he took a bowl, he put salt in it, he went to the source of the water, and he threw the salt into the water, and the barrenness of that ground was broken. Salt is a picture of the salt covenant that David had. So when you have a covenantal people that are in the structure, the bowl is a new structure that needs to be created, and you pour that into the water. The water becomes good, it starts to bear fruit, and the ground becomes fruitful, breaking the barrenness that causes the ground to become unfruitful. So the fruit of your womb is what you will produce, even in terms of children. But every church is also a womb that is producing sons of God. And we need to know that as a church, we need to produce the sons of God that are effective in the kingdom of God. They are fruits of righteousness. The fruit of righteousness, the Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 30, is a tree of life. That's the fruit of our mouth. Death and life is in the power of our tongue, and we will eat the fruit of it. That's in Proverbs 18, verse 21. There's the fruit of the Spirit, according to Galatians 5, 22 to verse 23. There's fruit that is consistent. That means you bear fruit throughout the year. In Revelation 22, verse 2, you see in the middle of the street and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. This is consistent fruit, fruit bearing that is consistent. There is also financial fruit. Philippians chapter 4, verse 15 to verse 20, Paul is encouraging the Philippian church as he has received the gift that was sent to him by Epaphroditus, and he said to them, no church shared with him concerning giving and receiving, and they sent him the gift to meet his needs. And he says, I am full receiving from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, and whatever you sent is a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. And he says, God will supply their needs. But he said this, that not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that will abound to your account. What will be that fruit? It will be a financial return, because they took care of the apostle that was over their church. This is financial fruit. If you want to see fruit abounding into your account, you have to take care of the ones appointed by God that give you sound doctrine, that give you food to live by, that cause your spirit man to grow, that gives you a word in season. Now, while we are in this period of crisis, and also a period of lockdown, period of quarantine, we should also be analyzing what fruit we can produce. during this period. And I just want to touch on just a few this this morning, just to help us to understand the kind of fruit that we should be producing while we are in this period of being in isolation. In the book of Psalms 128, verse number 1 to 3, the Bible says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table." Now, this fruit is the fruit of family. When we fear the Lord and walk in his ways, Bible says we will eat the labor of our hands. That means we will eat the produce of our hands. We will eat the fruit of our hands. We will be happy. And then it says, your wife shall be a fruitful vine in the heart of your house, and the children like olive plants. We have had time to work on our family issues, to set our house in order. And post COVID-19, or even as we use terminology like when we exit the ark, when we come out, we should come out as a strong family. This is a time where fathers should take their responsibility as priests of the home, a time where there is strong marriages being developed, relationships with our children becoming stronger, because this is the fruit of family, a strong family that can be built even during this period of lockdown, where we've had sufficient time with our family and we could talk and we could work out certain issues that we have been going through. And we need to see that our home becomes fruitful and productive, one of joy, one of enjoying the labor of our hands, one of enjoying our marriage and enjoying our children. And this is the fruit of family. The second kind of fruit that we should be producing is the fruits of righteousness. In Philippians 1 verse 9 to 11, Paul is saying to the church, "I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Now, the fruits of righteousness, some of the practical issues in terms of while we walk on the earth, is that we should be walking in reverential speech. We should have internal purity. We should walk in humility, walk in temperance, walk in equity, walk in obedience. We should be uncompromising. We should be sincere. These are all fruits of righteousness that should be seen in our lives. Now, each of these points will take a long time to explain, but in summary, our speech must be changing. Our heart must be clean. We should be humble before the Lord. We should obey the Lord. We must be uncompromising in our faith. And whatever we do with a sincere heart. And this is a fruit that we need to bear. And we have time to work on things in our internal, in our heart, and even through our speech, and even in our obedience to God's word. We need to think about, is that the kind of righteous fruit that is being produced in our lives? Number three, in the book of Isaiah 32, verse 13 to 15, excuse me, "On the land of my people will come up thorns and briars." This simply means that the ground is producing thorns and briars instead of good fruit. "Yes, on all the happy homes in the joyous city, because the palaces will be forsaken, the bustling city will be deserted, the forts and the towers will become lairs forever, a joy of wild donkeys and a pasture of flocks." Now, this is a description of what happens to the land when people are wicked, when they are evil, when they are idolatrous, etc. But the Bible says in verse 15, until the Spirit is poured upon us from high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. What does that mean? When the Spirit is poured upon us, then the thorns and the briars, the city that is forsaken, now becomes a fruitful field. And the fruitful field is counted as a forest. That means it multiplies and it grows, its extent and its expanse, expansion just increases. This happens until the Spirit is poured on us from high. There is fruits of the Spirit that must be seen in our lives if we want to see our ground turn from thorns and briars into becoming a fruitful ground. The fruit of the Spirit, as we know in Galatians 5 verse 22 and 23, is love. This is the proton, this is the primary, this is the first fruit. It is love. Everything else will flow out of that: joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So when we are filled with the love of God, it is the fruit of the Spirit of love inside of us. And when we have this love, nothing separates us. This love inside of us causes us to be resilient. It causes us to endure. But it's a fruit that must be produced inside of us. So as we have time to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, we must pray that the Spirit that is inside of us, which is God's Spirit, which we have received from the Father — and God is a God of love, because he loved this world, therefore he sent his Son — and our spirit is connected to God's Spirit. This is why our spirit cries, Abba, Father. And the fruit of the Spirit inside of us, the first fruit of the Spirit, is love. And the rest of the fruit will be produced as love begins to take hold of our lives. And I encourage you that if you want to see thorns and briars change into a vineyard that becomes that expands and looks like a forest, yet it is a fruitful field, let all the fruits of the Spirit begin to start taking hold of your life. The next kind of fruit is fruits of good works that we should be thinking about and producing. In the book of Colossians 1 verse 9 to 10, it says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work. In Titus 3 verse 14, let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. There are many good works that Jesus did while he was also on the earth, and we are his workmanship to perform good works. And during this time where people are vulnerable, many people are in need, you have many opportunities to do some good works, because this is how we let our light shine, through our good works. So we can bear fruit through our good works. This fruit will build relationships. This fruit will display the love of God. This fruit will cause people to see Christ in us. This fruit will cause us to experience more of God's goodness, because as we take a lend to the poor, God will repay us. So understand that in engaging in good works, we become fruitful. Lastly, The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 8, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." There is also the fruit of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by faith we receive Jesus into our heart, but we need to add to our faith. And it gives you what you need to add. You need to add virtue. You have to have knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, finally, love. Now, all of these principles will take a long time to explain, but I suggest that you think about them and work on each one of them, because when you add them to your faith, the Bible says you will not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge, the knowing, the experiencing of Jesus Christ our Lord. So friends, this morning the question is, what are we producing? What fruit are we bearing? We are placed in the best land. The choicest vine is inside of us. We are a branch connected to the vine. The expectancy is that we will be productive and fruitful. I pray that even as you have heard the message today, that you will consider these things. Work on our family becoming fruitful. Work on the fruits of righteousness. Ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life as you walk with Him to help you to bear fruits in this world. Pray that even in your intimacy with the Lord, that you will engage in good works. Pray also that you will add to your faith so that you can become fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you. May His countenance be upon you. May the grace of the Lord abound to you in every area of your life. If you are sick, may the healing hand of God come upon your life and touch you. If you're feeling weak and depressed, I pray that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Know that God is with you. He has taken over your troubles. He is overshadowing your life. He is walking with you. His presence is inside of you. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you. The choicest vine is planted in the vineyard. Just stay connected to Him and bear fruit. The Lord bless you till we meet again. Amen.